you please pray with me? Yes, Lord. Spirit, continue to increase in us that that prayer would be true, that prayer would be authentic and genuine, Lord, that you would make us new, that you would open our eyes for those around us, Lord, that we would see people, your people, God, as you see them, with unfailing love and treating them with grace. Lord, God, help us to be more like you, God, that we can be used by you, your hands and feet in this world, Lord, to turn this world upside down in your love. God, we love you. We want more of you. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated.
All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning.
All right, everybody take out your Bibles, open your apps, let's get ready for service.
Chris, what are you doing?
Hey, Pastor Gary.
Whoa, what are you doing?
I don't know what that was.
I feel a certain vibration on stage with you today, Chris.
Hey, you know, we have that that first sign-up thing out there.
Yeah.
We're asking people to step out and try something new.
Yeah.
And I was a little overexcited, so I decided I'd try something new myself and step out and maybe do the sermon today.
Aha. Okay, Chris, I don't think you quite understand the whole gist of first.
I get it. We're only asking people really to sign up for like communion and passing out prayer and action guides and clean up and set up and stuff. But, you know, it's a chance to take your very first step. It's something new. So, sermon. And I'm trying to be a little bit of an overachiever, maybe.
Yeah, Yeah, well, here's the deal, Chris. Prepared the sermon for today. I've got notes. We've got the PowerPoint. It's kind of all set to go. So I was kind of thinking of just like going ahead and doing it. You know?
Okay, I get it. You
but
don't
on
want
the other
me to
hand,
do the sermon.
If you want to do it.
No. No. Come back.
No.
That's Gary going off script. No.
How prepared are you really?
I'm really not that prepared. Okay, this needs to end real quick. So, hey, all we're asking people to do is take a first step and try something new. You can sign up right outside the door. It's on August 20th. Come in, give it a try. We're not letting anybody else serve on that day, anybody who regularly serves. So if you've never served before and you want the golden opportunity, this is it. And you know what? Tell them they might just like it too.
Yeah, and so why wouldn't they sign up?
I totally agree. Yeah. I totally agree. I think you all should sign up. So I think you've got this... sermon thing
covered.
Are you
sure?
So I think I'll just back out and let you go for it.
Hey, let's give Chris a big hand. How about that? Huh? You know, what Chris did really was a mini sermon, wasn't it? He was really encouraging us to put into action what God's word says. God invites us to be connected, to be involved. And that's what Chris has been doing. Chris does his work mostly behind the scenes, but he's inviting all of us to hear the invitation of the gospel and to sign up and do something for the first time. And maybe you will like it. Maybe it'll open up some new eyes to what God has in store for us. So let's start with a word of prayer and see what God has in store for us today. Gracious Lord, we thank you for Chris, for his enthusiasm, for his desire to embody what first is all about. Lord, we just ask that you would allow all of us to hear your gospel, your invitation that you desire for us to be connected, that you love us so that we can lovingly be connected with others and with you. And so this day, we pray that you would quicken our spiritual pulse, that you would truly allow us to have a spiritual pulse that beats strong and beats for you, even as you have provided and cared for us. Be with us this day that we might learn from your word what you have in store for us this day in your name. Amen. Well, as Ryan did very, very well in introducing that sentence song that we've been singing together for the last 3 weeks, we have been, for the summertime, we've been having this overarching theme called the heartbeat of summer. And first of all, you remember that we talked about head to heart to hands. And in that, we talked about how God's word comes into our minds, how God's spirit comes into our hearts, and God enables us with his gifts to put that into action. So for several weeks, we were focused on head to heart to hands as part of our Heartbeat of the Summer series. And now we've been engaged, it's our third week, focusing on the pulse of the gospel. And one of the things that was a theme last night that came through loud and clear in every conversation was, oh my goodness, I can't believe how fast the summer has gone. We had conversations with students last night who are leaving for school next week, going back to college and getting ready, and others are talking about the dreaded number of days left till school starts, some with excitement and some less than. But now we're engaged in pulse. Still summer, and God's pulse is beating strong within us. And so what were those themes? You reviewed them with Ryan just a little bit ago. The first for P is paying attention, and for you is understanding with empathy, and today, loving with connection. In the weeks to come, we're going to take a look at sensing the sacredness and embodying new life. But today, right in the middle of God's pulse, right in the very middle of God's pulse is loving with connection. And I want to submit to you that right in the middle of everything that God wants to do, he wants to love us with connection. So as I was preparing for today, there's this incredible story from Scripture that I think embodies that theme, loving with connection. It's a story that comes from the Bible, Luke chapter 24. And in this story, the background is this. It actually takes place. You can look it up on your Bible apps, your phone apps. You can look it up in your Bibles if you've got them along. Luke 24, it's known as the Road to Emmaus story. And it happens on the very first Easter Sunday evening. Jesus has risen from the dead. Mary Magdalene and a few of the others have seen him, but really all the disciples have seen is the empty tomb, those who are brave enough to go, Peter and James and John, but it's none of them have yet seen Jesus. And so these two followers of Jesus are getting out of Dodge. They're leaving Jerusalem. They're leaving. They're confused. They're not sure what all has happened, and they're trying to make sense of that as they're going back home to Emmaus. So as you listen to this story that is really all about loving with connection, I want you to listen for two things. There's a point in the story, this episode in the life of Jesus, there's a point in this story where suddenly their eyes were opened and they saw Jesus. I want you to think back. Has there been a time in your life when suddenly, even though Jesus was present all along, your eyes were opened and you really saw him new for the first time? So I want you to think about that. Where are those moments in your life in the past where God opened your eyes in a whole new way to see Jesus? And then, as they recognize Jesus' presence with them, they say to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" If we have a good spiritual pulse, I would hope that there are moments in our lives when our hearts burn within us because of what God is doing in and through us. So now, in that context, listen to this story from Luke 24. Now that same day, the two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in those days?" The Bible doesn't say it, but can you imagine Jesus trying to keep a straight face in this conversation? "What things," he asks. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word." And you can imagine Jesus thinking about, this is going to be an interesting conversation, hearing their perspective on what I did. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart you are to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. They finally recognized Jesus. He'd been with them all that time. And their eyes were finally opened. How about us? Jesus is with us all the time. Are we aware of what he's doing? Have we seen him lately and what he's doing in our lives? And how about your heart? How's your heart doing? Have you had a moment lately where your heart has burned within you because of something that God has allowed you to experience? So we have this thing called CHIRP. Here at Good Shepherd, Christ renews his parish. And I bring it up because one of the things that happens over and over again on these women's retreats and men's retreat, the women's retreat is coming up in September, the end of September. And over again, I've heard different people say, "Wow, I saw God," or "I experienced Jesus in a whole new way. It's almost like I saw him for the first time." Or people say, "Wow, my heart was burning within me as I heard a witness or I experienced God in a whole new way." So one of the things that happens with CHIRP, and women's retreat is coming up at the end of September, the men's retreat will come up in May. And if you've not ever participated, I encourage you to do so. It's an incredible experience to see God in a whole new way, to allow your heart to burn within you through the experience in a way that quickens your spiritual pulse. One of the things that happens after the weekend is that many of the groups will continue to meet together. They meet together for prayer. They meet together for Bible study. They meet together for accountability. The group that I've been meeting with has been meeting now for about 20 years. And we go every Friday morning to the Colonial Cafe, and we have breakfast together, and it's kind of cool. LaDonna knows my order, so I don't even have to order. She just brings me the regular, and she knows exactly how I like it. And it's kind of accountability. We talk about our lives and what God is doing and how's our prayer life and what are the things that we should pray for each other about. And it's a way of staying connected, kind of loving with connection, I suppose. And one of the groups took this to another level. One of the men's group decided they were going to go on a retreat up in Minnesota. Talk about going to another level. They went to a camp in Minnesota. They were really risking it. And they went to this camp. And it was a great camp. And it was a place where they had worship. And they prayed together. And lots of stuff were happening. And they got together for this retreat. And it was a great experience. But there were different groups that were using the camp that week. And they stayed, as I understand the story, they stayed mostly to themselves. They interacted some with the other groups, but mostly they were there to be with one another, and they kind of did. There was another group that was there from, well, the group looked kind of scruffy. Group didn't look Napervillian. Group didn't look like somebody they really wanted to hang out with. So they didn't. And then the final night, the group got up and they sang. And their hearts burned within them as they heard this group called Teen Challenge sing. Because from this group, they heard their story. And they learned about their backgrounds and some of the challenges that they've gone through. And so they came back and they brought their experience back to Good Shepherd. And they said, hey, we want to get involved. And they've been moving from head to heart to hands with this. And they did a coat drive to help the Chicago Teen Challenge group. Because you see, Teen Challenge actually started back in 1958. It was started by a pastor by the name of Pastor Dave Wilkerson. Anybody ever heard of that name? Anybody heard of The Cross and the Switchblade, the book, the movie? When I read that book when I was a teenager. And I remember reading that book and being so impacted by the story of how Dave Wilkerson had worked with gangs and how their lives were transformed by Christ. And there was a movie that came out too, and I don't know if you've seen the movie or read the book, but it's powerful. And here is the basic premise of Teen Challenge. And you see some of the Chicago Teen Challenge guys there. It is to strive to evangelize and disciple men 18 and older who have life-controlling problems such as drug and alcohol addictions. We offer an effective and comprehensive Christian faith-based solution to the drug epidemic. By applying sound biblical principles, Teen Challenge endeavors to help people become mentally sound, emotionally balanced, socially adjusted, physically well, and spiritually alive, and to develop a solid spiritual foundation in which to build relationships in their family, church, career, and local community. I don't know about you, but as I hear about all the problems, the challenges that go on regularly in Chicago, and believe me, Naperville's got plenty of challenges too, but we hear about the shootings, and we hear about the drug problems, and we hear about that, and sometimes I've asked myself, what can we do? How can we solve that? A Teen Challenge has been working to make a difference. In fact, Teen Challenge started in New York, but the Chicago Teen Challenge is the second oldest Teen Challenge in all of the United States. And we have the privilege today of hearing the Teen Challenge choir right at the end of our worship service, right at the end of this message. But we also have their spiritual director, Pastor Brian Wood, is with us today. Brian, I'm going to invite you to come on up on stage because you've shared some stories with me that truly opened my eyes, like those Road to Emmaus guys. And my heart was burning within me when I heard some of the stories. So I invited Brian today to come and share a couple of Teen Challenge stories that I trust will warm your hearts today. Brian, would you just share? Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Gary. It's great to be with you here today. It's been a real joy over the last several months to begin this partnership with Good Shepherd. And Marty and Gary Leavenworth and these guys that have reached our way. It's been so encouraging for us. And I want to thank the congregation for the generous gift that you guys gave to us a couple of months ago that's helped us to, some of the guys singing here today, you helped scholarship their way into the program. They didn't have the resources to get in. And you made a way for that, as well as provide some computer and other information.
I'm going to interrupt you for just a second. The generous gift comes from you. Yeah. Perhaps you remember hearing about Above and Beyond initiative. Well, Good Shepherd was so generous that in addition to many, many other ministries that you've supported above and beyond, like the LA Adante group that just arrived back last night from Honduras, they helped to support a learning center there. Those were above and beyond funds that did that. And we had monies that were able to be utilized to reach and transform as part of our vision with our inner Chicago City brothers and sisters. And so a gift was given by Good Shepherd, generous gift, to help with Chicago Teen Challenge.
Yeah. I was thinking as you were reading earlier, just how common it is for me, my experience, and perhaps for all of us here, that we can be walking with Jesus, but yet be ignorant of the implications and the possibilities that exist because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I have the opportunity to, on a daily basis, walk and see those possibilities being realized in the guys and the students in our program.
In fact, you refer to it as working in God's studio, watching God's masterpieces being created.
It is. It's and like any great piece of art or any great masterpiece, you can look at it and observe it and see the beauty in it, but doesn't mean that you're aware of the process that went into creating such a masterpiece. And we get to see God at work in such a amazing way. There's a lot of things in the world that would sort of divide us and segment us, you know, certainly economically, racially, geography, our faith backgrounds, all of those things. But there's this incredible force at work that is cutting through all of those divisions and unites us in some not so pleasant ways, and I think that is certainly drug addiction. We often see it as an urban problem, you know, if you live in Cook County, you're twice as likely to die from a heroin overdose as you are from an auto accident, okay? Texting and driving, not a good idea. Heroin is worse. But that's not just a Chicago thing. In DuPage County here, opioid deaths are up 53%, and it hits your newspaper all the time. In our center, we have a real cross-section of not just the Chicagoland area, but also throughout Illinois. And we see the effects that's happening in our students' lives. Students who, prior to coming to us, some of them were on the streets, and they come to us straight from there. Others, their room and board has been supplied for them sort of against their will, as they've been, they're facing legal issues, and they come to us straight from jail. What is in the wake of our students' lives always is a series of difficulties, hardships, pain, trauma that has been inflicted on them and that they have inflicted on others. And there's a desperation in them and their family to see if possibly their life could be different. And we get to see that transformation take place on a regular basis. I think of one of our guys that came to us from quite a distance downstate, and he'd been a heroin user for 6 years. He had a long history of legal problems. There was a lot in his past. He'd watched friends die. And to see the transformation that's happened in him, to see how God has changed his life, how he's reconciled him with his family, and we saw recently how he was able to really minister to his family when his family was going through a loss, a death, and to watch the work of God be demonstrated in that way was so encouraging to us. A guy who literally was headed on the road to death, and now he's not only experiencing life himself, but he's helping others experience that as well. One of our other students who came to us, his story was laced with use of prescription drugs, heavy use of prescription drugs. And let me just say, parents, the number one way that teenagers begin either the opiate journey or a benzo journey, it begins in their parents' medicine cabinet. And so if you have medications that that you have that's been prescribed to you, by all means, you know, we in my house, we lock up some valuable things in our safe. There's a will that's there, any types of financial paperwork and all of that. Those prescriptions need to be under lock and key as well, because it the journey that it can lead someone on is significant. And that was the case with this young man, where he came from a really wonderful family that loved him. But he got off track, and his life was headed in a really, really devastating direction. And came back from a weekend pass recently, and he shared with me how he had had, for the first time in 5 years, he had sat down with his family and had a meal together. Mm-hmm. And he said, "It's the first time in 8 years I've done that sober." Wow. And the restoration that's happening in his life, and now if you want to see his face just totally light up, let him talk to you about his plans for the future and making a difference for children who've experienced this tremendous loss and devastation, and to watch how the power of the cross transforms a life. Not only brings a life to that person, but that life then begins to radiate out. It's just so inspiring.
You know, Brian, I know you've got story after story, and you shared others with me. I want to invite, if any of you would like to talk with Brian after worship today, he'll be available, as will be other members of the Teen Challenge Choir that are here to sing today. Let's express our gratitude to Brian for coming and sharing part of his story.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
So we have this loving connection. It, for us, a good shepherd, started with a chirp group that had their eyes opened and their hearts warmed by an incredible experience here at Good Shepherd. They went to a camp. They experienced a group from Teen Challenge Minnesota. And from that came a deeper loving with connection relationship that transferred back to Chicago once they arrived back home and made connections with Brian and Chicago Teen Challenge and Kyle, who's here today. From that, they began to move from head to heart to hands by putting into some action some things where the pulse of the gospel was working in their lives and they wanted to help make a difference. And they did. And then they got connected with Good Shepherd again by saying, "Hey, we think this is a great above and beyond initiative. We'd like to request some funding." And so all of us then were connected lovingly by the generosity of God and these relationships that are evolving. And I think that's when the pulse of the gospel is at work and alive in us, then that loving with connection just grows and grows. And God does magnificent things in and through us. You should know, too, that the issues that Brian talked about that are alive here in Naperville area as well, the opioid issues and the prescription drugs, we also, through Above and Beyond, are funding initiatives through Kids Matter and other initiatives to deal with that right here in our backyard, as well as our backyard of Chicago. Loving with connection. So, what is your spiritual pulse? I'm wearing a Good Shepherd preschool shirt today because my spiritual pulse has been quickened each time I go and review what's happening with the construction or reconstruction within our walls. Have you been down to the preschool area recently? Walls are being transformed and room, new spaces being made so that more and more students can come to our preschool and our Sparks program, which is the equivalent of our Sunday school program. Our preschool and our Sparks, more students will come so that they might be able to see Jesus, that their hearts might be warmed within them. And if you've been in the activity center lately, you know that the stage is now gone. That stage in the activity center is gone because walls are going up and rooms are being formed and two levels are being created so that more of our special needs students and families will have spaces. More and more students and families coming to Good Shepherd so that they too might have their eyes opened and have their hearts burn within them. Because you see, that's what happens when God allows us to love with connection, when our spiritual pulse is strong. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you this day for Teen Challenge. We thank you for those two on the road to Emmaus who did not recognize Jesus until he broke the bread. And then suddenly the words he'd shared from Scripture became alive and their hearts burned within them. Open up our eyes, dear Lord, for those ways in which you are right there present with us and we do not see. Open our eyes. Warm our hearts to the point where they burn within us as we get excited. Our pulse, our spiritual pulse begins to quicken for the sake of that which excites you. Lord, this day, we thank you for Teen Challenge and the Teen Challenge Choir that's going to sing for us. And we thank you for these partnerships in ministry where the loving with connection is felt, is realized. In your name we pray. Amen. We come to that place in our worship service where we get the privilege of receiving an offering, giving thanks to God for those things that God is doing in our lives and those ways in which God has blessed us. The Teen Challenge Choir is making their way up to the front because in just a moment they're going to sing for us.